there's this invisible force out there that is making our money worth a little bit less every year. And if we don't take that into account, it's obviously going to have a big impact on what we have when we get to retirement.
Well, is that, I mean, you say, as I was reading this article here, and we're going to be talking about inflation, about 3% on average is something we should count on. Where do you get that? Is that like a national average?
Well, that's an average over the last 80 years. And during that 80 years, we've seen some real extremes. So right now, we're probably under 2% as an inflation rate as of today. But if you go back to the 80s, we were as high as 13% back then. So it really depends on what the economic times are and what we're seeing. But inflation, one of those important aspects of inflation, I didn't actually write it into this article, but is how it affects so many other aspects of our financial lives. So if we have loans, inflation is impacting what rates we're paying on those loans. The other side is inflation is also part of the basics for what return we're able to earn on our money as well. So if you think about, I always hear people talk about what they were able to earn on their CDs back in the 80s, and they talk about earning 10% on those CDs. They wish those times would come back, and what they don't realize is inflation was 10%, 11%, 12%, somewhere in that rate, and they really weren't really gaining any more than they are today earning 1% on those CDs. So inflation really plays a big role in so many areas of how we're investing or borrowing our money.
We're talking with Brad Graber. He joins us every Tuesday at 7:30. And his website, by the way, investingintruth.com, you can get some great financial advice from a biblical standpoint. We're talking about investment basics. We started off with inflation. You call the invisible force, which is very true.
It is there.
It is there. So, Brad, let's talk a little bit about taxes. There are certainly benefits of tax deferral.
Oh, absolutely. And the government has provided some incentives for us. So you talk about tax deferral. So we think of that, the most common example that most people would see is their workplace retirement plan. So in that, they can contribute to their retirement plan, whether that's a 401k or if you're a nonprofit, it's probably called a 403b. But it gives us the opportunity to not only contribute pre-tax, but then once the money's in the plan, we're not getting taxed each year as it's earning money. So if we have, like I mentioned, a CD before or a bank account, we're getting that 1099 at the end of the year where we have to report the earnings for taxes, and then we have to pay some tax on the money that we earned. Well, that tax is eroding what we ultimately get to keep and slows the growth of our money. In those workplace retirement plans, our money is growing without the erosion of taxes on it. So if we earn 6% this year, we don't have to pay taxes on that 6% it earned. That 6% can continue to stay in there, and we're able to compound basically on the amount that would have gone to taxes otherwise. That money can sit in there and continue to earn money. So if we look at somebody that's 25 years old, they have maybe 40 years for that money to sit in there and continue to compound at a faster rate, where they're getting to keep the full return they're earning rather than having to pay taxes each year on the earnings and then only getting to keep a portion of it. So the impact that that has for our retirement is huge. And it's just a nice incentive that the government has given us, both that pre-tax and the tax deferral on the earnings, to allow us to, well, number one, to incent us to save for our retirement, but then number two, to allow us to be able to accumulate more at a quicker pace.
Well, one of the key things you said is having time on your side. For those of us who are older, who have maybe only 10, 15 years, we've got to be a little more aggressive in how much we do save, but talk just a little bit about time. If you've got 30, 40 years, it doesn't take a whole lot per month for that to start building up.
That's exactly right. And I always try to encourage people, at least start, do something. I don't care if it's $25 a month. If you can start at those early ages, and for the kids coming out of college, my biggest suggestion is live like a poor college kid for a couple extra years. Because if you can kickstart that retirement plan in your early years, that money can sit in there for a long, long period of time and continue to grow and compound for all those years. And it's going to be, especially if you talk to people, like you said, that are closer to retirement and maybe they're 10 years away and haven't saved very well. The panic is starting to set in a little bit on trying to get more saved up and do it quickly. And their biggest piece of advice is start early. So let's take wisdom from the generation ahead of the young people and listen to them and start early. Start getting that company match. So if you're working for a company that'll match the first 3% you put in, try to get to that 3% as quickly as you can, because not only are you saving, but they're also contributing to your account for you, and that's just free money to help grow faster for all those years as well.
Well, that's a 100% gain on your money immediately. And if you said to me, say, Ray, if you'll do $100, I can guarantee you're going to get $100, I'd jump at that. And that's really what these matching things are. And so they need to take advantage of those as much as possible.
That's exactly right. Yeah, free. Like you said, it's free money. And if somebody else is going to contribute to you, and it's kind of what the government is doing too through that tax incentive. They're allowing you to keep some of your tax dollars as an additional add-on. So you're getting the company match, you're getting tax benefits, and you're getting to contribute yourself, and it all just adds up to an easier way to get to that retirement number you ultimately need.
Well, when we save, certainly less risk the government needs to take care of us in our retirement, right?
<Yes. laughs>
In our older age.
Well, and that's why they're giving us the incentive. They know that if we don't save, then we're at a higher risk for them to have to ultimately provide for us in the end.
Well, that's interesting. One more quick thing I was that jumped out at me as I was looking at your blog here is make sure you understand. If you can't explain your retirement or your savings or what you're doing, then maybe you shouldn't be in that, or maybe you haven't made a... Because you don't want to say, well, Uncle Joe said, or my friend, you know, trust me on this. So we need to understand what our investments are.
Yeah, so this is just a fundamental aspect of stewardship. So we're managing God's resources. And as a manager, someday we'll be called to account for what we've done and the decisions we've made. And how many of us in our job would want to be doing something with our boss's money that... we have no idea what we're doing. We're just basically rolling the dice and seeing what happens and hoping for the best. It's important in stewardship to be educated, to be making wise decisions, and that's why I wrote this article on the investment basics of inflation and taxes. We need to have a general understanding of what these economic concepts and what's really going on so that we can make wise decisions. And the poor decisions I typically see from a lack of education are either people taking unnecessary risk and partly because they just don't understand, or they're scared of taking risk and they're hesitant to go learn the concepts, so they don't do anything. So that's the old stick the money in the mattress. And in both ways, we're losing, because if we're taking unnecessary risk, we may be losing it because of bad risk. But if we're being slothful and sticking the money in the mattress, we're automatically losing because inflation is eroding away the value.